I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics. Politics. Humor,
humor,
tequila,
tequila,
and an IQ of under 64.
Yeah.
You're listening to Art Cop Radio,
Radio, Radio, Radio.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Art Cop Radio. This is show number 115. Good to see you back again so soon. Got an odd show for you today. I guess they're all odd to some degree. Can I share a little something with you? I did not like the last show. Some people wrote and said they did, but I thought 113 was real good. I thought 114 was maybe the worst I've done in the last 20. I think this show is back to some of the good stuff, but I guess you, the purchaser, will decide if I'm good enough to stay in business or not. Because as you know, after 115 shows, I still have no business behind the microphone. But there's so much to do. The show is way, way long. I had 15 bits put together. Half of them aren't even going to be in this show. Hopefully, they'll be in the next show. So let's get right to it. Let me get a shot of Chinaco out the way. You know, we got the trouble in a Chinaco. I'm hearing from my peeps around the country that there is no Chinaco anywhere. Perhaps I've talked a little bit too much about it. Oh, that's good tasting. Oh, boy, I tell you what. Anybody out there, if you can get a bottle of Chinaco Añejo, got to be the Añejo, because the other stuff is only good for sterilizing the instruments. You send me a bottle of Chinaco, it'll magically transform itself into a $100 subscription. You get a whole year of Art Cop Radio for a mere bottle of Chinaco. Can't beat that. Since we're running long, can't talk too much, but we're going to open the show a little bit different way this time. Okay, let's have the big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
I'd like to start off with a little bit of Bill Maher. I like quoting Bill Maher because he has a lot to say. He's generally right. And he goes from topic to topic, which helps me because I can't stay on one topic for too long. Plus, I don't like on his show, he'll have some Republicans on, but he can't get the real good top Republicans because the Republicans, when they start lying, are going to get smashed in the face with the truth, and they don't want to be on live TV when they get the truth run down their throat. But Bill Maher was on Jay Leno a couple nights ago, and they talked about a whole bunch of stuff. Let's get into that.
Now, we always talk about what's in the news, and this week it seems to be Alec Baldwin seems to be taking it. I mean, you mentioned everybody knew this. They don't know Iraq, but they know this story.
Yeah.
I don't know a whole lot about the Alec Baldwin story. I've heard the tape. I guess anyone who is alive has heard the tape 15 times. And yes, it was wrong for him to scream at his daughter, but gee, is it really a mystery who released this tape? If he's screaming at his daughter, I think they said she was 11. So odds are she didn't release the tape. Maybe his kids are savvy enough to make a copy and then call some reporter. I mean, I don't know, 11 years old, I'm not sure you're that bold at 11. If you're going to double-cross Alec Baldwin, obviously he's got a temper. And I've said it before, I like people with tempers. Now, I don't like people like that Cho fella with a temper. That's not the right kind of temper. But I like people that blow up now and then, assuming they, you know, keep their head in the game. But ain't nothing wrong with a temper, and I didn't like the way he talked to his kid, but we don't know what goes on inside their house. That might have been the worst thing he ever said to her. He might have been being nice to her. We just don't know their dynamic. But I think it's pretty obvious Alec Baldwin didn't release the tape, and if he didn't release it and the 11-year-old didn't release it, well, we're kind of left with Kim, and I don't like or dislike Kim, but, you know, I like Alec, and if the two of them are fighting, I'm going to end up kind of on Alec's side, but they're acting like, oh, who could have leaked this? Well, gee, if the two of them are fighting and the pawn is the 11-year-old, yeah, Baldwin looks real bad when the tape gets out. So, gee, I wonder who might have released it.
Well, you know, it's a bad thing he did, just like what Don Imus did. What bothers me is that there seems to be this pattern in America of somebody committing a crime, That's not really that big a crime. Yeah. You know, was it cool what he said or Imus said? Absolutely not.
Right.
And, of course, we have to blame the whore media. I generally watch CNN a whole lot just because if something happens, I don't want to be the last guy to find out. So as I'm doing the page, I generally have CNN on. And like with this Baldwin tape, what they would do, they would play it at 8 o'clock and then 8:15 and then 8:30 and then 8:45 and then 9 o'clock and 9:15, 9:30. They want to be damn sure that you hear this tape. You know, it doesn't matter what happened in Iraq. It doesn't matter what crimes Bush was caught at today, but you've got to hear the Alec Baldwin tape. And I don't understand that. If you have, say, an hour and you want to include that as part of the hour, maybe I can live with that. The idea that you have to saturate the airwaves with it, it's just crazy. And, you know, that and the Imus thing. What Imus said was stupid and thoughtless. I don't think he intended to do anything there. Well, I guess Bill Maher's going to say a lot of this too, but in retrospect, I wish I'd handled that better. I should have been fighting for Imus to keep his job because, you know, he's a boneheaded idiot, but, and I don't know him very well, but I don't think he wakes up thinking, how can I screw the black people today the way O'Reilly and Hannity and Limbaugh and the Republicans in general do? I've always thought there's this big difference between bad intent and just screwing up. I think Imus screwed up. I don't think Imus is full of bad intent. And again, you probably know him better than I do, but you shouldn't lose your job because of a screw up, because I think anybody can screw up. Even I, your host, have made errors. But also, where did Imus go? I looked at Imus.com. They have one, but it's not him. And I looked at DonImus.com. They have one and it's not him. Why would a guy like Imus not have a webpage? Christ, if something happens to you like what happened to Imus, wouldn't it be nice to have a web page and say, hey, here's my side. This is what I did. I fucked up here, but what the hell? I lost my job. You know, the little cancer kids, now they're going to have less money in their pocket because I was a bonehead one day. And I don't want the black people to think I'm taking the white racist side, but what he said was just stupid and thoughtless. I say stupid and thoughtless things too, and thank you for being quick to correct me, but I shouldn't lose my career or my job, my income, over being stupid and thoughtless. You know, if you're a plumber and you leave a wrench somewhere, or, you know, you shouldn't lose your job over just something, one or two dumb things that you did.
But I would put also in this category Janet Jackson. Remember, her milkshake was on television for one blurry black second, right, and America was permanently traumatized. I would put impeachment in that category. Right. Yes, Bill Clinton spilled some Arkansas in the White House. But other people made it into a much bigger story.
Excellent. Let's talk about impeachment for a second. What Clinton did was wrong, but it was just amazing. It was something to witness, to see the entire media go batshit crazy, and it was like for years, and they just never let up. I think this started early in 98, but January in 98, and it continued until after the week Bush took office. Remember, Clinton trashed the Air Force One, and he took a torch to the inside of the White House. But funny, there wasn't a single camera in all of Washington, D.C. Why didn't Karl Rove say, hey, NBC, you with the camera? Come here. Let me show you. And walk around the White House and document that. No, they didn't do that because there was no damage. I do believe they took the W off of some keyboards. Whoop-de-doo. A brand new fucking keyboard is $5 or $10. I can't believe that turned into the crime of the century. The whores of the media, they just pile on and pile on. Now, the Alec Baldwin thing, yeah, he's a Democrat, so the Fox News whores, they just have gone crazy over this evil person. How dare he talk to his daughter that way? Well, I'm not sure that's really our business. If he's hurting the child, maybe he can make an argument that he is, but I don't know that he hurt the child. And we also don't know, I don't anyway, what he was yelling at her for. If she was stealing food from the other kids at lunch and he said, hey, you're a selfish little pig, well, that might apply. I don't know. I don't have kids. I don't worry about kids. I don't have kids' feelings on my mind when I say something. The media whores, they just have to pound on and pound on and pound on. Now, with Don Imus, I think it's different. I think he should not have lost his job, but I was real surprised. Some good friends, my regular cartoonists, and a whole lot of liberals, they hate Al Sharpton with everything they've got. And, you know, I'm used to the years of hatred of Clinton. There are so many people that think Al Sharpton is absolutely worthless. And when you ask him why, it's Tawana Brawley right away. Does anyone think that Al Sharpton intentionally took a lie and magnified it and elevated it? so he would look stupid when it came out? I don't think he's that dumb. And the idea that people, oh, they're such spotlight whores, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton always running every little race thing. Well, if not them, who's going to do it? Like with the Duke thing. If the black girl was raped by a bunch of white millionaires who were going to get away with it, then it was their job to go down there and point some spotlight on that, because the powerless raped woman needs somebody. If you're powerless and poor and black and raped, who's going to help you? Those two guys did, and they put a spotlight on it, and it turned out that that the girl apparently was making this up. She got some mental problems or whatever, but there's very definitely a place for Sharpton and Jesse Jackson to be involved. They may be flawed warriors, but they are the liaison between black and white America. I know that sounds crazy, but if a race riot happens, we're going to need people like Jackson and Sharpton to say, hey, we need to calm down. If it's not for those two, who's going to stand up? Farrakhan? Will Smith? If there's a race war, a race problem, if there's a race issue, again, they're not perfect, but they've got a right to speak about it. And for white people to tell them to butt out, oh, I don't like that at all, because I've never been black. I don't know what it's like. There's a story I should tell you sometime. I think I'll tell it now. It's a Saturday morning. Mrs. Bart kicks the bed. She says, you're taking me to the Herb Fest. And I thought, oh, hey, cool. Sounds like a lost weekend. But no, it turns out it was the Herbal Affair, which is basically like a flea market thing. There was a bunch of booths and, you know, a lot of people selling soap. And I don't know, how much soap do you need? You know, you walk by these booths and it's like, oh, God. Can I walk a little faster? I'm having some trouble getting oxygen here because I don't know. What is it about super stinky soap? And there was booth after booth of it. It was weird. But they also had, oh, they had a bunch of spices. That's why Miss Bart went. She got all these weird spices that she coats the steak and the chicken and whatever when we cook outside. But they had a whole lot of stuff there. And what this is in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. Sounds like a beautiful, oh, Sand Springs. But no, it's kind of a dump. It's the, I don't know, the white trash part of town. If there's a shotgun serial murder, yeah, it's probably either Sand Springs or Sepulpa. There are two suburbs that the white trash has settled. And I'm sorry, I'm poor. I shouldn't say that, but, you know, they're just parts of town where people live, and that's how it is. They're proud of their part of town. Anyway, we heard that there was a new pizza parlor in Sand Springs that I'm not going to drive across the river, 20 miles, whatever, for a pizza, unless it's real good. But anyway, while we were there, we thought, hey, instead of eating this fair food, you know, they had ham and cheese on a stick. Just some things just don't need to happen. So while we're over there, we think, what the hell, we'll stop at this Minuteman Pizza. We weren't sure what kind of place it was, but we went at the pizza. So I went in and ordered and told them I'd be back in 20 minutes. We drove around and looked at houses. While we were driving around, I got to thinking, you know, if we were black or if we were an interracial couple, think how hard that is. If you're a black couple and you're driving down the highway and you think, I want to eat somewhere, where's a good place to eat? You kind of almost have to go to a McDonald's or a Burger King or somebody, some big chain that you know is going to stand by. You can't pull over to Phil's Barbecue in Durant, Oklahoma, if you're black and expect a good time. And I just think that's awful. Think what it would be like to be black. And every move you make when you're outside the house, you got to ask yourself, is this a good idea? Am I putting myself in a bad situation? On Air America, they were talking about somebody, the same thing. These people were driving, oh, I think Al Franken was talking about, they're driving north and they're going through Carolina and they pulled over somewhere to eat. And while they're standing in line, it was like a cafeteria or something, they're standing in line, they notice there's Confederate flags on the walls and they're going, oh, geez. You know, they thought maybe this isn't the right place for us to be. So they kind of slinked out the door and found a different place to eat. But just wanted to throw that in how, you know, we white people, we don't know what that's like. We don't know what it's like. Every move you make, you have to wonder, is this going to be seen as a move? Is Whitey going to somehow... I think I mentioned this before. In Oklahoma, it's kind of sad. Say there's two guys, you know, like at a grocery store. It's like the Three Stooges trying to get through a door. Two guys coming up to a grocery store line, and one of them's black. In Oklahoma, the black guy will stop and let the white guy go first. Every time, almost. to me, that's kind of sad. It's apparently the blacks in Oklahoma and maybe every state in America have learned that you don't want to, even if the black guy's a little bit ahead, it's in his best interest to let the white guy have it because, you know, first thing, hey, nigger, you cutting in line? Oh, boy, now you got a major problem on your hands. Major. We could have blood. We could have ambulance. We could have hospital. We could have anything. So just to avoid all that, they just have to ease back a little bit. I really deserve to be first in line, but, yeah, I don't need a trip to the emergency room today, so I'll just let the white guy have it. Okay, so we're driving around, and when we went to pick up the pizza, she asked me how bad a place it was, and I said, well, it really wasn't that bad. It looked kind of a decent place. And she said, well, think about it. Eating pizza in the car, wouldn't it be easier to go in and eat? And I thought, hey, you got a point. Let's do that. So we went in, and I'm sitting there, and they got these signs on the wall. I knew if, now this is your redneck, kind of white trash part of town, so I'm had my eye open for some racism. It was a political place, but I don't know exactly where their politics lie. There was signs on the wall. One sign was, laws are like a spider web for poor people. The rich people can break free, but the poor people get stuck. And I thought, well, that sounds like a bias against the rich, which is okay with me. Just kind of made you wonder, to put up a sign saying the poor guy gets screwed, it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of obvious, but it's weird that you'd put a sign at your pizza parlor that said that. Another sign, you're going to love this, it was hanging over the ovens. I mean, they really wanted you, when you go to order your pizza, you know, you got your cash register, you got your dude, you got your ovens. That's what you're looking at when you order a pizza. Right above the oven, there was a sign that says, it takes money to do things, - Oral Roberts, 1989. I just thought that was funny as hell. Yes, it's true. It takes money to build things. And if God tells you, I'm going to murder you unless you build a 70-story hospital in South Tulsa that's full of big hospitals. They need a hospital in North Tulsa where the black people live. But no, God didn't want a hospital in North Tulsa. He wanted it in some really super-ass prime real estate in South Tulsa. I think it touches Southern Hills where Tiger Wu is going to be the song. Ooh, Tiger Wu coming to town. The whole town is buzzing. Tiger Woods is going to be in our city, and the buzz is unbelievable. Another sidebar, and then we'll get back to the story, but that's how my problem with Tiger Woods started. A lot of people ask, Bart, what's your problem with Tiger Woods? I forget what year it was. You fill in the blank, but let's say it was around, it was while the page was on, so maybe the year 2000. Anyway, a few years ago, might have been later, 2001, 2002, they had the big giant, whatever, it's the Masters, the U.S. Open, something. They had the big, big golf tournament in Tulsa. And Tulsa had been under construction for years. There's like six or eight big streets in Tulsa, and every single one of them was nothing but these orange construction cones. Why in the hell do they fix every street in town? You know, they do that. I've talked about this when we went to Kansas City last year. You can't do construction on 60 miles of highway at the same time. Why not work on this 3 miles? And next week, work on that 3 miles. But that's what they did in Tulsa. Everywhere you look, cones everywhere, construction everywhere. This is shut off, two-lane over here, and then you got to go over the bumps and all the gravel and everything. It's just, for years, it was like that. And then, Tiger Wu was coming to town. Big thing in the paper. We got to get our streets clean for Tiger Woods. And sure enough, by the time the damn golf tournament started, the roads were all fixed, and that pissed me off. I mean, yeah, it's great to have nice roads, but we couldn't have nice roads for our tax money, no. But Tiger Wu coming to town, oh, we got to have it all done for Tiger, which kind of pissed me off. But closing up on Tiger Woods, what they did, though, when he came to play, he was on his hot streak then. And the big, I don't know if this was like Sports Illustrated or if it was the Tulsa paper, they said, is there even a reason to play the tournament? Tiger Woods is so obviously going to win, and all this is in some back page. You can check it out. But Tiger Woods is so going to run away with this. It's not really necessary to play the tournament because that's how great Tiger Woods is. That's the weekend the hex went on him, and he lost that weekend big time. That's when the hex started. He went into this 3 or 4 year spiral that he started to come out of like last year or something. But that hex worked like for 4 years, and I don't really think the hex works. Don't call me. You know, I have people write to me, Bart, you wasted the hex on Tiger Woods instead of putting it on W. It's like, well, you know, it's kind of a joke. The fun was that I gambled that would be the weekend that he'd fuck up, and he did, and it made me look like I knew what he was doing, and kept going like the rest of that year. What's wrong with Tiger the next year? What's wrong with Tiger the next year? What's wrong with Tiger? Tiger's lost his touch. Remember, he fired his caddy, and he fired his manager, and he did all this stuff trying to get it back. Anyway, that's all because they did that. They pissed me off that weekend with the cones and the streets and everything. Okay, getting back to that. We talked about this pizza and what it's like to be black, and you got to watch your every move. So that's why I think people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, I think we should give them a break. I'll bet I got 100 cartoons, maybe 50, I don't know, but I got a whole lot of cartoons about Sharpton and Jackson breaking their legs, running towards the camera, running towards the spotlight. Well, hey, trust me, a white guy wrote that. If you want to be black and hate those two guys, you can. But until you've been in that situation where you don't know if you can pull into a restaurant or, hell, getting gas. You know, it's one thing for a restaurant, but, you know, you look down at your gauge, you need some gas. What are you going to do? You pull into a racist gas station. What do you do then? You pull into a gas station, you need gas. Hell, if you're in New Mexico or Utah, it may be 50 miles to the next gas station. So you need the gas. So you pull over and you see, well, there's some Confederate signs. Oh, great. Well, I'll just get my gas and go. That's another thing. I always pay at the pump. I hate people. I don't want to interact with anybody. When I get gas on the road, if you don't have a pay at the pump deal, we're out of there. We go somewhere that does. That would just be something that you and I don't have to worry about because we're not black. Well, some of you people are listening to this black, and you know what I'm talking about. The black people, I assume, are saying, you're right, Bart. People don't talk about that much, but people ought to use their damn heads, because if me and Mrs. Bart, two of the whitest Okies you ever saw, if we were a little bit leery about what kind of place we were going in, think what it's like to be in a racist country and be black, and oh, God forbid, you're a good-looking white woman with some black guy. Oh, I don't know. I don't even understand the dynamic there, but you know, if a black couple comes in, it's like, nigger, get out. White girl and black guy come in, it's like, oh, what do you think you're trying to pull? You know, all of a sudden now he's got to explain himself. And the girl, hey, what are you doing with that guy? And you got a whole different, completely different dynamic there. Much, much more explosive than a black couple walking in. But hey, that's for another day. This is going to be a 10-hour show if I don't close this down anyway.
It's a real honor to meet you.
I'm sure it is. I can only imagine thinking back when I was a kid starting out in the practice of law. If I had met someone like me, wow.
Yes, yes.
So, who do you like for president?
Well, I think I would have to learn more about all of the candidates before I could...
Yeah. But if you had to vote today, who do you like?
That's kind of a personal question, sir.
Oh, come on. We're talking about public office. We keep our public opinions personal. Does that make sense to you?
Well, who do you like?
Jeb.
I don't believe he's running, sir.
Oh, he will. Last 20 years, there've been two families in the White House. The Bushes and the Clintons. That's the way it is. We like our dynasties here. It's the closest thing to having a king, which we need. We want to keep attacking foreign countries against the will of the American people. Two families. That leaves Hillary and Jeb. And if it's Hillary, you don't work here, pup.
Well, if... working here is conditioned on aligning myself with either a candidate or a political party, then I don't want to work here.
Attaboy. I like a man who puts himself out on a limb to avoid answering a question. Of course, that makes you a Democrat.
Denny Crane did not like me.
Even if that were true, which I doubt, we are not an autocracy here, notwithstanding Denny's great affection for kings.
Somebody's talking about me. My back was itching.
Denny. Mr. Givens is under the impression that his interview with you didn't go well.
Oh, don't be silly. Man's a keeper. Smart, good-looking, articulate.
When you say articulate, I would imagine almost everyone who comes out of law school is articulate.
Yeah, but, well, I mean it like Joe Biden meant it. The way they mean it. When they say Condi Rice is so articulate that way.
But I still don't know what you mean.
You don't sound black. What have I done now?
He doesn't sound black.
Well, he doesn't. Not to me. Does he to you?
Denny, you truly are not aware what a racist statement that is?
Oh, please. Bush and Biden said the same thing about Obama.
Not like that, they didn't.
Did too? I said articulate, and Biden said his hygiene looked good.
Denny, there's no such thing as sounding black.
What do you mean?
Certainly you don't think all black people sound alike.
Well, of course not. The anchors on the news don't sound black at all, and the black weathermen sound whiter than me.
It's politically incorrect to say somebody sounds black.
All right, then African-American.
No.
Jesse Jackson?
No.
Well, then how? What do you say? If a person sounds black, what's the right way to say it?
Urban.
White people don't live in cities?
Look, there's no such thing as sounding black.
You just cannot judge a man's skin color by the sound of his voice.
Is this a joke?
No, it is not. You have committed an egregious offense here.
All right, let me get this straight. Say you get kidnapped, and I get a ransom call from a man who, to me, sounds black. And the cop says, what did he sound like? I should just say, male. Or, I don't know, but not necessarily black. Do you think you're a racist, Denny?
Oh,
I don't know. Do you think it's racist to say a man sounds black?
I think it's more offensive to say street or urban when the inference is you mean black.
So, what do you say?
Well, Barack Obama referred to the black sound as a black idiom, more like jazz and less like a set score.
They let him get away with that?
Evidently.
I might vote for him, you know.
Obama?
Anybody in America can grow up to be president. That's what I say. Except Hillary. She wins, I puke.
Barack Obama.
Handsome. Great photo op. I don't know what he stands for. Be a perfect president. He speaks perfect white as well as black. You never heard me say that.
What about McCain?
He speaks Bush now. Can't win.
Obama is against the war now, you know.
So am I. It's boring. I'm ready for a new war. Time to blow up Iran. We got Saddam. Now we gotta get, Amina Douchebag. And that nut job in North Korea, they both gotta go. And not because they're not white.
Okay. Denny, does it bother you at all that America is so hated by the rest of the world these days?
Well, of course it does, Alan. Just can't please everybody. Better to just
blow them up.
Exactly. And not because they're not white.
No.
Let's get back to Bill Maher and Jay Leno.
In the Dine Imus case, would these 19-year-old black women have really been listening to Don Imus?
That's a small point, but it's a good point. The media could have kind of reported it and said, you know, that's the wrong thing to do, but you know how Imus is, and they could have kind of left it alone. But no, they just, it was just amazing how they went 24. And I don't like the guy, so I kind of didn't mind the piling on, but that's not really the position I should have taken. But those girls never would have heard it. It's a little bit like gossip. If I say I don't like somebody, you think, well, yeah, that person's kind of a jerk. It kind of dies there. But if you run over, oh, did you hear what Bart said? Oh, Bart said this, Bart said that. Oh, did you hear? That's what the media did with Imus. Shame on those whores.
Like, so you mentioned Janet Jackson. You see, to me, it's like you have pornography everywhere in America. You can turn on anywhere. It's on cable. It's everywhere. The only place we would not like to have it is the Super Bowl. Could we not have it at the Super Bowl? Thank you. And somebody chooses to, it's like Woody Allen. You can go out with any Asian girl you want. Just don't go out with this one, okay? That's my daughter, okay? I mean, okay, you know what I'm saying? There are some places where you just go, we would like the Super Bowl to be a family thing. We can switch over and watch something on the porn channel if you want, but this we would like to keep. And when you cross that line, people get upset.
Jay Leno is a liar and a whore. I don't know what Super Bowl he's been watching, but the Super Bowls I've seen are nothing but Viagra ads and alcohol ads and, of course, all the titty jokes in the world. It's, you know, you got your cheerleaders dancing. You got, it is not a family affair. It's like with guns. America is a sexual country, but the yin-yang tit-for-tat there is, oh, sex is horrible. You know, during the sweeps weeks on TV, all the local channels, they all do an undercover prostitution sting. Well, they act like, oh, this is so terrible, we had to uncover it. Well, yeah, well, why did you wait until the ratings week to do that? Because you knew everybody would watch, because everybody wants to know. You do a prostitute thing a couple weeks ago or a month ago, that DC madam got busted. Oh, I'm going to release the book. Everybody wanted to know who's in the book. This is a very sexual country, but we're just a bunch of sexual hypocrites. You use sex to sell everything. You use sex to sell toothpaste or a car or, hell, even a weight loss program, which is a pretty good reason to do that. You show, they put the girl in her brassiere and panties, stand in front of a mirror, and she's noticing her figure. Well, yeah, guys like to see that, sure. And funny, they use sex to sell everything except the stupid Viagra pills, which is kind of nutty. But for Jay Leno to say, oh, can we have this one thing without the sex? Jay, You're lying to yourself, and you're lying to whatever 8 million people you got watching you. Why do you do that, Jay? The Super Bowl is about making money. Sex makes money. Today is the day after the Paris Hilton. Oh, no, Bart, how could you put Paris Hilton on your page? Well, she generates a whole lot of hits. That's why she's on the covers of magazine. That's why Letterman has her on. That's why, you know, someone paid her $400,000 to drop by a party. Aren't we all just a little bit jealous that we're not that good looking, that young, that rich, and someone wants to pay us $400,000 to drop by? And she doesn't need the money. But sex sells. I can't change that. You can't change that. And since the Super Bowl is not about the football game, please. The Super Bowl is about generating money, and sex does that. And everybody understands that sex sells and that the Super Bowl is about sales. Everybody except Jay Leno. Jay, quit lying to yourself. And what a stupid point to make. And again, let's talk about race. This is turning out to be the race issue. Didn't plan it that way, but shit happens. Janet Jackson didn't walk out there and pull her top off. Some white guy did that. And he got off scot-free. Until I just mentioned it, when you think of Janet Jackson in the Super Bowl, you don't think of Timberlake. No, he got off scot-free. Oh, I'm sorry. And his apology made it out like it was planned. And I guess to some degree it had to be planned, but I still don't know why Janet Jackson would want to be the lady that ruined the Super Bowl. Where is the pride there? Where is the, hey, look at me, I'm the one that exposed myself at the Super Bowl. I'm not sure what happened there, but when Timberlake apologized, he in effect was saying, yeah, what me and her colluded to do, turns out we weren't using our heads. And so he threw her to the damn wolves. He apologized. Remember, they had the Emmys or People's Choice Awards a couple days later, and he was going to be a big presenter, sing a song. So he had to get right with Whitey real quick. Oh, yeah, the black girl, it was her idea. Me, I feel sorry about the whole thing. And Janet Jackson's standing there saying, hey, it was an accident. I didn't intend to do it. How am I going to apologize for something that wasn't intended? I don't guess we're ever going to get to the bottom of that story. Maybe someday she'll write a book, but, you know, will that be the truth or will that be her spin? But either way, funny how the white guy got away from that unscathed. And Janet Jackson, she's still now the pariah. Oh, my God, Janet Jackson. What kind of horseshit is that? We're over in Iraq killing 100,000 kids, or kids included in 100,000, and that's okay. As long as we don't have a little titty. A little titty shows up, now we got a problem. We had 50,000 dead kids in Iraq? Well, you know, shit happens. Freedom isn't free. But a little titty? Now we got a problem.
What I'm saying is I understand why people are upset. I understand why they're upset, too.
But in the Don Imus case, what happened was Don Imus inspired somebody like Mike Huckabee, who I like, he's running for president, to say Bill Maher and Rosie O'Donnell should be next. He said if Don Imus goes, then they should be next.
And it just goes to show you what a stupid, lying whore Mike Huckabee is. First of all, I think of Imus as a Republican. Somebody wrote and said that he supported Kerry in 2004, but I don't know. What does that mean? So I take it as a given then that he is some kind of Democrat. And if he had to go, then these other two Democrats have to go? What a lying whore Huckabee is. If he had half a nickel of credibility, he would have said, well, if Imus has to go, then Rush and Hannity and O'Reilly and all the other overt racists that are wall-to-wall in this country, they have to go. But no, Huckabee is a lying whore. He's not about honesty. He's going to wear that little Christian label on his shirt all day to fool the stupid, but he doesn't fool me. He's just a political whore trying to score points by attacking the innocent. That's wrong. He should be slapped for that. He should be slapped hard.
So that's my livelihood we're talking about there.
No, but I don't think he would be next because you're not doing what he did.
Absolutely not, but that's the danger. It's like it goes from racist remarks that you don't like and they shouldn't be said, but okay, we should have free speech in this country. That seems to be a little more important to anything you don't like. I don't agree with everything Rosie O'Donnell says, but I'm glad that she's out there speaking. They always say this is a free country. No, it's not. Freer than most countries.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
And the fact that they let me talk the way I talk, I got to say I'm glad I live here.
Right.
And I realize that I'm not Bill Maher, but I, too, make my living off of speaking and writing, and I don't want anybody telling me what to write. I've got fewer restrictions on me, well, than anybody. I don't have advertisers that can pull out and stab me in the back. Bill Maher on HBO, I got a feeling he can say most anything. If he said it's time to pull a trigger on you-know-who, yeah, I think he's going to have some trouble with HBO, but he's pretty much got a blank check. Well, and it's like anything. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater, so if you take away the one or two things you can't say, yeah, he can say anything he wants on HBO, and that's a really nice place to be. I remember they used to have a comedian on there. His name was Dennis Miller, I think it was. Is he still in show business? But he once had the best job there was. But no, when he turned right-wing whore, there was just no more room for him. He forgot to tell the truth. When he started blowing Bush, he was no longer funny. He quit telling the truth. When you have a forum like HBO or an internet page or your own damn radio show, you can say whatever the fuck you want. The same person that says you can't use the F word might say, well, you really shouldn't say that about the president. So when you hear the F word, you know that you got the possibility that you are hearing the truth. Hopefully, the only way I could lose my job is if I start saying, oh, Russia's great and Bush is great and the Democrats are all terrible. Well, I generally say the Democrats are terrible, but I think I'm going to be okay as long as I don't start praising the evil sons of bitches who are lying whores.
Well, let me ask you, do you think the Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson thing made the Imus situation worse?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Well, yeah, I guess worse is a word that might apply there in that they made it bigger, but Sharpton and Jackson, they don't own the airwaves. They don't own NBC and CBS and ABC and CNN and Fox. They didn't have the power to make this big. They have some power to grab a spotlight, but the networks are the whores that went 24/7 with this. Yeah, as I said before, the black people were involved in this. They had a stake in it. NBC, they're not about fairness. They're not about creating justice or righting a wrong. They're just money-grubbing whores. That's all they are. Look at any newscast and you'll see, oh, Bush is the greatest. Yeah, they've had to come off that a little bit since Katrina. But if not for Katrina, they would still be, oh, Bush is the greatest and the Democrats are all bad. That's how they are. They want more money, and there's more money slurring the Democrats than there is telling the truth about the Republicans.
And Al did have, look, I'm friends with Al for a long time.
So he's come to see me, he's come to my show.
And he got a little mad at me. Yeah. I had him on my show last week, and the first thing I said to him was, thank you for making the time to come here. I know this is your busy season.
Right.
But he made a good point that this is not just about Imus, it's a process.
Yeah, actually, but you lost your job because of this, too, the first time around with Politically Incorrect.
Yeah. And that's why you have to fight for free speech.
Right,
you know?
Right.
We do have free speech in this country. That is one of the few things we have retained and where we are. Yeah. But you have to fight for it. I fought for it. You know, I don't know what Don Imus is going to do now. You know, he probably will resurface maybe on satellite radio or somewhere. But, you know, there are some of us who still believe that truth is not like wine.
But you know what it is?
It doesn't get better with age.
Yeah.
It's better when you say it right away.
Right.
Harry Reid said last week, we lost the war in Iraq. A lot of people attacked him. Okay, the fault is not with the guy who's telling the truth. The fault is with the guy who got us into the mess.
Yeah.
Okay, Harry Reid isn't the bad guy for pointing out what the reality is. That is the reality.
That reminds me of the situation that I hopefully have successfully extracted myself from, in that saying Hillary was the favorite. Boy, did I catch some shit for that when she was at 44 and everybody else was at 11. And I said, looks like she's going to be the nominee or she's in the lead or whatever. Boy, did I catch some shit for that. I learned my lesson. I figured out real quick that a Hillary victory is probably going to be death for Barkov.com. So please, Obama, get to work. Oh, and did you hear what Obama said the other day when that idiot Rudy said, if the Democrats win, they'll surrender and wave the white flag to Al-Qaeda? He said, I think it's pretty cheap to use the very real threat of the terrorists as the punchline to some political attack. Hey, I was impressed. That was well done. Now, is that Obama? Is that his team? You know, when the campaign issues a release, if it goes good, then Obama said it. If it turns out bad, then, well, an unnamed staffer was responsible and reprimanded or let go. But unless they name the guy, if it's your campaign manager and next day he's looking for work, yeah, now we believe you. But if it was an unnamed staffer who was reprimanded, well, that just means you lied and you got caught.
When you got fired from your show for saying things, but you actually said things you believed in.
Yes, I've never said anything or certainly gotten fired for saying anything that was racist or sexist.
That's right. But when you say like...
Well, at least not racist.
Right, okay.
And, yeah. No, I'm kidding.
But like the whole nappy-headed whole remark, there's no way you can defend that. There's no, I feel the need I have to say this for any other reason.
Well, it can't be defended, but it can be explained. When every day Rush wakes up, he thinks, how can I taunt the blacks today? Rush thinks, how can I taunt the niggers today? That's how he thinks. He doesn't think in terms of blacks or African-American. They're just niggers to him. Same with Hannity and O'Reilly and Savage and that whole group of sons of bitches. That's how they think. Now, I don't think Don Imus woke up that morning and thought, how can I screw with the girls at Rutgers? He just didn't do it. What he did was stupid and thoughtless. But it's not defending him to say, I doubt he intended that. It popped out of his mouth. And yeah, you can say, what's it doing in his head to where it could pop out? But someone wrote to me and said that line was in the Spike Lee movie. I didn't see the Spike Lee movie, so I don't know. But that was a little bit unfair for him to lose his job over a thoughtless remark when Hannity and the Pig Boy and the others intend every day of their lives. That's how they make their money. When you mock a black person, cha-ching, your bank account goes up. And you think, whoa, I mean, when I said Jesse Jackson was a stupid moron, there was $1,000 in my bank. So when I said he was a stupid moron who enjoys using race to divide America, now there's $10,000 in my pocket. So, hey, look here. And Rush kept piling on to where he's now got $30 million a year in his bank account. So, yeah, there's a big-ass difference between, and I used the pun intentionally, between the vulgar pig boy and Don Imus. And you don't want to argue that point with me.
Well, but again, this was an attempt by an old white guy to make a joke. And it was a wrong joke. And, you know, he should be somewhat chastised for it. I don't think the punishment fit the crime. But again, you know, we had this horrible tragedy last week in America. And somehow a guy says nappy-headed hoe. And we have to have a national dialogue in America about being nice. Right. But all these people get shot. And there's absolutely no debate about gun control. That's all, no dialogue there. Yeah. We can't even talk about that.
Now, here's one of those spots where Bill Maher has gone way off the track. He is 100% wrong. Same for Leno. They're going to sit their neck like, how can this be? Well, no, use your damn head. What are we going to talk about when it comes to guns? Are we going to say, gee, I wish there weren't as many? We spend a whole lot of time saying that. I made a little joke last week. Let's wave our magic wand and turn all the guns into donuts and then we'll eat them. That's how you answer someone that says, we have too many guns in America. Well, yeah, it rains sometimes on Monday. Should we pass a law that says no rain on Monday? That's not going to happen. You're going to have rain just like you're going to have guns. What do they want people to talk about? Say they pass a law you can only buy one gun a year. Is gun violence going to drop? Are you crazy? G. Gordon Liddy is a felon. He's not allowed to own a gun. So Mrs. Liddy keeps her gun next to Gordon's head at night. Not pointed, but I'm saying the gun is on Gordon's side of the bed, not his wife's. And if a cop comes in a room and says, whose gun is that? They're both going to say, it's my wife's. So yeah, whatever law you pass, the 200 million guns are still there. I heard on some talk show over the weekend how the Democrats are afraid to bring up the gun issue. Well, yeah, maybe they are. But the point is, what are they going to bring up? Are they going to say, gee, it's a shame there's 200 million guns in America? How many lives will that save if they say it's a shame we have that many guns? It's not going to change anything. You have to look at the facts. You can't look at what you would prefer. People that write to me and say, Bart, aren't you tired of Clinton Bush, Clinton Bush, Clinton Bush? Well, it's not a matter of what I'm tired of. It's a matter of whose name's on the ballot. What are your options? Dennis Kucinich is not going to be the next president. Maybe he would do a better job than Hillary or Obama. We don't know, but we're never going to find out because he's not going to be president. And we can say, oh, it's a shame that Kucinich can't win, but that's not going to change anything. You have to play the card you're dealt. You can't look at your stupid poker hand and say, boy, I'll tell you what, if I had a flush, I'd be kicking your ass right now. Well, If you don't have a flush, shut the fuck up. It doesn't make any difference to sit around and talk about what if. You can say, what if the war was over, and then take some action to stop the war. Now, that's a little different. But you can't say, what if there were no guns in America? What if we stabbed each other instead of shot each other? You always have to deal with the facts. And people that don't deal with the facts ought to stay out of the debate business unless you have a talk radio show on some fascist Nazi station.
Why is that? Why is that? Because gun owners are selfish, Jay. That's why. And I'm a gun owner. I have a gun. And I don't believe you should not have any guns. Why? Because we've gone too far in this country. There's too many guns, and I don't want only the bad guys to have guns. I would just like gun owners to admit they're selfish and that it's a vice like booze or drugs or cigarettes. Mm-hmm. Stop the nonsense about it's my right. You just like it because you have a small penis.
Well, there was a big roar of laughter there, as you might imagine, but I can't tell, is he serious? Is he trying to make a point here? Or was all that just to get in the tiny penis joke? How in the world does owning a gun make you selfish? Sure, I think I have a right to own a gun, but that's not why I have one, because I have a right to. I have a gun in case something happens that's physically out of my control. It evens the odds. If some diddle monkey linebacker somehow calls here and says, I'm going to come over there in 10 minutes and kick your ass, well, you can stand on my front porch all you want, but the minute you try to come through that door, you're going to be in the paper the next day. And that's not about my, and that's got nothing to do with the size of my penis. It's just, I don't want to be owned by anybody who's bigger than me or knows karate or has a pipe or a gun or a knife or something. And I'm not going to go search the streets with my gun strapped to my side looking for trouble. But if trouble tries to get inside my house, trouble's going to be dead.
This is, to me, it's just selfishness. And when you look at the profile of any killer, you know, they say, well, he was bullied as a kid. Lots of people were bullied.
Exactly.
As a kid, and they didn't get a miniseries on MSNBC.
Right.
Well, I can't tell if Bill Maher is being serious or not, but that Cho guy at Virginia Tech, he seems to be just unhinged. Wasn't it creepy to hear his, well, he had, instead of roommates, he had suite mates, which I think that means there's four to a room. And one or two of them said that he hadn't spoken, you know, the entire year. Now, think how weird that is. The entire year. I don't know what happens when you say, hey, dude, how was your day? And if he just looks at you and goes back to reading or whatever, yeah, that's a little spooky. I think I'd go tell somebody. One of them said they didn't know if he knew English because he never, ever spoke. Now, that, to me, is mental illness. That's a whole lot different from being a semi-normal kid. I think the Columbine guys were that way. I think the Columbine guys were, and not that they're heroes or they did anything right. All I'm saying is, it's my recollection of that situation that they were outsiders. They were shunned, weren't allowed to play in the reindeer games. And if you're a guy who every time you go to school, it's just taunting, constant, always. Yeah, as the months and years go by, you might get fed up. You might just decide life's not worth living. And if I'm going to have to shoot myself because you two guys have been bullying me for years and months or whatever, then yeah, I can sort of understand the guy wanting to take those two guys with him. It's wrong, of course, but I'm just saying I can understand. If things are so bad you're going to kill yourself, in a dumb kind of way, it makes some sense to take the guilty with you. Don't go take a gun to school, start shooting up everybody and shooting the teachers and stuff.
Sanjaya has quite a weekend ahead of him. He's going to the White House Correspondents' Dinner on Saturday night, which means there's a really good chance he will meet President Bush. And it's crazy to think that a guy who did not get the most votes, who's not good at what he does, is famous despite the fact that he's consistently horrible, would get the chance to go to the White House and meet Sanjaya. I mean, it's... By the way, in case you are going to the Correspondents' Dinner, don't tell, but President Bush thinks Sanjaya is the Prime Minister of India, so hit that. President Bush was in Ohio this week reminding people that the war in Iraq is part of the war on terror, which many people forget is part of the war on high prices. And the president had one of those Q&A town hall things, and rather than go through all the questions, we thought it'd be fun to put together a montage of his answers. Here's our president, George W. Bush.
The president spends time at disasters. Polls just go poof. As I said, we'd cut the deficit in half by, you know, by 5 years or 4 years, and we've done it 3 years quicker. You know, everybody wants to be loved. And so if you were to come in the Oval Office, what you would see is this fantastic rug that looks like the sun. Death is terrible. Our border's long. Help me pick my lettuce. If you've got a chicken factory, a chicken plucking factory or whatever you call them, you know what I'm talking about.
Indeed we do. Yes. Indeed we do, Mr. President. Wow. It's, I think the W is for what?
You know, the other thing, what was so creepy, I guess you thought of it too, but about the Virginia Tech thing was the bastard, how he chained the doors closed. So just think of the panic. You hear shots. Say he starts three classrooms away. You hear shots, and then you hear shots closer. So you try to run away, and then you look at the doors. You see the doors are locked, and we got a crazy gunman here, and we're all trapped. They're just trapped like rats. They can't go anywhere. And this asshole's just going by shooting, shooting, shooting. And I know there's some right-wing assholes that talk about, why didn't someone tackle him? Well, the day of the shooting, they had a guy on CNN. He had the same Glock as the shooter had, and they showed him. He was firing off shots. And then he changed a clip. Take about that long. Change a clip. Takes about this long. Now, how are you going to tackle that guy? Sure, I guess it's possible somebody found themselves in a position. Maybe he walked into a classroom, didn't realize there was a guy behind the door kind of thingy. That, yeah, maybe it was possible somehow. That, and maybe, as for all we know, maybe someone did grab him at the very end. I don't know. But, you know, years ago, an Alaskan Airlines plane went down, crashed, killed everyone on board, and the families of the victims were given a larger than regular amount, I don't know what it was, because of the terror they put up with, because for the last few minutes of the plane was upside down. So not only were they probably going to die in their minds, but the terror of hanging upside down in an airplane that's obviously out of control, that added to it. And along those same lines, the kids at Virginia Tech, just the terror of knowing we're locked in a building and we can't get out. And this asshole's got apparently plenty of ammunition. They said he shot, I think, 200 bullets, 180, something like that. But yeah, that's true terror there. You can't even run away. It'd be terrible enough to be in a place, hell, to be in a shopping center and hear shooting at the one end of the mall and you run the other way. That's got some terror involved there. But to be locked in a building, oh, that's got to be a bad way to go.
If you look at these profiles, yes, the guys have a lot of problems. What's the common thing for all of them? They can't get laid.
Well, that's probably true.
It's true. Instead of sending them to shrink, send them to hookers.
Yeah.
The guys who fly planes into buildings, right. You know, everybody who does something like that can't get laid.
Funny how the same issues keep coming up. But we talked about Las Vegas. Prostitution is mostly legal in Las Vegas. So they have to have either a higher or lower rate of spousal abuse and rape and other sex crimes related to a man's ability to get laid. But they don't let that information out. So we must assume Las Vegas has a lower rate of spousal abuse and rape or sexual assault or, hell, even sexual harassment on the job. If you're making money, and you know that pretty much any time you want, if you take $200-$300, I don't know how that works. I never have had a hooker, but, and they're probably more than two or three. I guess it depends on the quality of the girl. You can probably get an ugly girl for $100. You can probably get a playmate for $1,000, or I don't know how that works. But if you know that you can always go get some very prime grade A companionship, if you had what's called a natural outlet, testosterone is aggression. Don't we all agree? So if a man's got a chance to get rid of some of his aggression with a hooker, then it just makes sense. But no, the invisible cloud being doesn't want you to touch the pleasure buttons that he gave you. Way to go, religion. Yeah, that's just perfect.
Well, let me ask you something else. This bothered me. I saw no reason why.
Again, see, it's true. I'll get in trouble, but it's true.
NBC, we were sent this tape of this kid with the tube. And you know something? As I watched this horrible tragedy unfold last week,
now, I have a different problem with the airing of the shooter's tape than I've heard anyone speak before. And yes, I agree. Going wall to wall with this idiot's rants, that was a bad idea. They kind of had to show it once or something. I don't know what's the best way to do that. If the best way to do it is to say, we're going to show the tape once, we're going to show it at 7 o'clock tonight. So if you want to see this thing, be near a TV at 7. And if you're crazy enough to want to record it and show it to your friends, fine, but we're not going to run it every 10 minutes to be sure everyone gets a chance to see it, like the planes running into the towers on 9/11. They showed it literally thousands of times. I don't want to see it. Turn it off. Make it go away. But the problem I had with the playing the shooter's message was they called it hateful. Well, hateful implies that he might have had a reason. If you steal a man's land and you burn his house down and you kill his wife and kids, well, yeah, he might grab a gun and go crazy. That's hatred. Seems to me everybody who had a comment on the airwaves about that tape should have mentioned that he was a deranged nut hand job. But they didn't. They said, oh, it was an angry tirade. Well, no, it was an idiotic, nonsensical rant that didn't make any damn sense. And they should have said, you pushed me. You had a, what'd he say? You had a billion chances to stop me. No, you had a billion chances to prevent this, but you forced me to do this. Well, no, asshole, nobody forced you to do anything. And this billion chances, what the hell does that mean? And oh, and I'm going to die like Jesus. Well, yeah, you're obviously a nut. You're a crazy man. It would be nice if a crazy man wasn't able to walk in a gun store and just buy a gun and walk out. You know, the safety trigger on that is, are you crazy? You check no. Well, hey, now you're sane. But when they aired the thing, they should have mentioned every time that the guy was a psycho, crazy man with a rambling, idiotic message that nobody could understand because he was crazy. I would have felt better about them doing that. But of course, no, they did. Wouldn't want to offend the gunman. No.
Do you feel, I know it's freedom of the press. Should this be released to me? What public does, well, the what press, good do we gain by?
Well, now, wait, I say you had to release the tape. If word got out that the crazy gunman sent a videotape and a bunch of pictures to NBC and they're refusing to release it, well, that makes you think, did he work for NBC? Did he have a problem with NBC and they don't want the tape out? I mean, once the news got out that there was a tape, they had to play it. But again, they didn't have to play it every 5-10 minutes throughout the whole day, and it's on the cover of everything, and the professionals need to get into why he did it. But me and you don't. You know, like, let's go talk to John Lennon's killer and see what's on his mind. Well, no, let's not. I just think maybe a good piece of revenge to put on them would be to say that prick bastard that shot John Lennon, that piece of shit that shot Bobby Kennedy. Maybe they ought to just do that. And if someone says, what's his name? Well, if you don't, go look it up. If you need, go to Wikipedia or go somewhere. If you need to know who Mark David Chapman is, well, yeah, go dig around. But to bandy his name, oh, let's do the Beatles story with a whole section on Chapman. Well, no, let's not do that. Don't let him become the fifth or sixth Beatle. That's bullshit. Don't let a guy shoot his way into the history books. He should be denied that to prevent the other dumb son of a bitch from doing it the next time.
Well, the media has no sense of responsibility.
Right.
They didn't need to play the entire Alec Baldwin conversation either.
Mm-hmm.
They could have summarized that. They just like it because it's juicy and
right.
It's good
well,
for
sure,
ratings.
Sure.
I'll tell you something that bothered me even more. They did show the victims in the Virginia Tech thing, the faces, and we heard all about them. We never see the faces of the people killed in Iraq. We never see our soldiers.
Yeah.
And this is a horrible tragedy. I feel terrible for the people. But, you know, there's a difference between a victim and a hero. A victim finds himself in harm's way. A hero puts himself in harm's way.
Right, right.
Our soldiers put themselves in harm's way. They deserve at least what these people at Virginia got.
Do you see any way out of Iraq? What do you
No, of course not.
Well, that was a short and honest answer from Bill Maher, because there is no way out of Iraq. I mean, we can always say, bring them home, but yeah, it's going to make what's going on there now look like a picnic, and they're going to have to fight it out. Might as well just give everybody those swords like they used in Kill Bill and just let them go at each other. Too bad you couldn't do this on a volunteer system. Say, everybody who wants to fight it out, be in central Baghdad at noon. Anyone who doesn't care to fight it out, you know, if you're Sunni, then go eastward. If you're Sunni, go westward. If you're Shia, go eastward. And once the big bloody battle is over, if you think we need to, we can build a wall between you two, but you'd think if all the crazies who want to kill each other get in a pile and kill each other, then the people that are left, if you're interested in peace, maybe we can work that out. The bad news is, yeah, it would have been nice if they could have kicked us around a little bit more, but no, they go right for the joke instead, and I don't know. Again, I like political humor, but it just seems like there's a time for a joke and there's a time not for a joke.
George Bush is the only person who thinks that going more is better. He thinks if we surge now, then we can pull out. But as anyone who's ever done porn will tell you, that's backwards. Yeah. You pull out, then you surge. I think we all know that.
Now, I know McCain supports this surge. And
yes.
He seems to believe it because it's costing him votes. So
No. Again, we don't know if Jay is being hopelessly naive or if he's just a goddamn liar, but McCain is not doing this for the right reasons. He's stuck. He can't move away from his position. He can try to find ways to nuance it, but no, he's Mr. Surge. He's Mr. War. He can't turn around and say, oh, I was wrong. I did the wrong thing. He just can't do it. He's stuck with that position. He's not doing anything for any noble motives here. He's just stuck. He bet on the wrong horse. Right after they raped him to death in South Carolina in 2000, right after that, he became Bush's best butt buddy. And he's been there ever since. And now and then he'd criticize the war. He criticized Rumsfeld. But he won't criticize Bush. He'll say mistakes happen and things could have been handled better. But he won't say Bush is an idiot like he should have done. The minute they trashed him in South Carolina, he just should have said, hey, it's not ever going to happen. It's over between me and you. I won't ask you to any of my fundraisers. You don't ask me to any of yours, and that'll be the end of it. But no, for some reason, he just attached himself to Bush, and he's been blowing Bush for the last 6 years. And here's that idiot Leno trying to tell you, oh, he's so noble, he's willing to go down with the ship. Well, no, it's his ship. It's the ship he jumped on. He can't go down on someone else's ship. He's too busy going down on Bush.
I did a thing on our show Friday night about the fact that the bees are disappearing.
Yeah, this is the fact. I did some jokes about it. Tell people this story.
I don't, you know what? I can't even make a joke about it because it's got me so scared. I mean, Einstein said, if the bees disappear, mankind has 4 years to live. Because the bees pollinate the plants.
Right.
This is how plants grew. Bees. Without plants, there's no food that the animals eat.
Right.
So there's no man. It's the chain of life. And I mean, like, without bees, there's no carrots. Would you want to live in a world without carrots?
I'm not a big carrot guy myself, but...
Yeah, you don't eat vegetables.
Yeah, I could lose the carrots.
You know what? That's why you need more than one square of toilet paper,
Jim. Really, yeah.
Okay, and this is the last rant in this section. But what in the world was Sheryl Crow thinking? I didn't hear this. I searched for it on Google, couldn't find it. But apparently, I don't know if she was joking. This is one of those... John Kerry deals where she let it get out and then she failed to fix it. And now it's just become a disaster, not like Iraq disaster, but apparently, okay, Sheryl Crow and I think her name's Laurie David, the cranky guy on HBO, it's his wife, Larry David's wife. Anyway, the two of them are on some kind of bus tour for the ecology. I don't quite understand what they're doing. But apparently, Sheryl Crow said something about women could use one square of toilet paper and save trees or something. And of course, that blew into the biggest thing. It's just huge now. I can't find the quote anywhere, but everybody's talking about it. I keep getting cartoons where Sheryl Crow standing there with flies all buzzing around her. Why would any woman why would any famous woman do a joke about let's not tidy up too much after we defecate and urinate? What an idiotic thing to say. And she's single-handedly may have put the whole global warming and ecological movement back a year or two because you got bastards like Rush Limbaugh saying, hey, if you don't mind, I'm going to use two or three pieces of toilet paper when I go to the bathroom. And so now Sheryl Crow has become the poster girl for bad hygiene. What an idiot. What is wrong with people that they can't see that, you know, if for somehow... If that was a serious thing she was trying to say, she could have said, oh, women might give some second thought to how much toilet paper they really need to use. Now, and then, boom, you're done. Move on to another subject. But no, apparently she said you should get by with one square. So that invites all these flies buzzing around Sheryl Crow jokes. And what an idiot. Now she's, those environmentalists, they're the ones that only want to use one square. I'm sorry, but I can smell you from here. I don't want to live in your world, you crazy environmentalists. You know, why do they do that? It's just the Democrats, they're just always this way. They can't think past the end of their damn sentence. The other night, a part of what I caught on this, Sheryl Crow was given some kind of an award, and as she accepted the award, she said, oh, this is almost as embarrassing as my one piece of toilet paper comment. Which, hey, lady, that does nothing to change anything. That does nothing to help anything. You know, you need to get in front of, you need to go on somewhere like Leno where a lot of people are going to say it and say, hey, I was misquoted, I misspoke, I was misunderstood, that's not what I meant. But no, it's just going to go on. It's April 20-something, 2007. You watch, in April 2008, they're going to be doing jokes about Sheryl Crow doesn't wipe after she goes number one and number two. And of all people, Rush Limbaugh should have stayed the hell out of this because, as you know, he couldn't go to Vietnam because his ass was infected. Had he kept it himself a little cleaner, he would have been able to go to Vietnam and maybe wouldn't be such a chicken hawk now because he'd seen a little combat. But no, his ass was too dirty to be taken into the army, which was in the middle of a major war, 55,000 dead. I got a feeling they were taking a lot of people in the army. But no, Rush's ass was too dirty. And you know, his dad's ass was too dirty. He got out because of the cyst. Now here comes Rush in the 60s. He got out because of the cyst. So Rush ought to be the last guy to talk about keeping your privates clean. But what in the world was Sheryl Crow? Now see, if they would just say, Bring a canvas sack to the store so you don't have to use a paper bag or a plastic bag, God forbid, all the time. You know, propose something with a little common sense in it. You might separate out your glass and your cans, whatever, at trash time. Or, you know, put some solar panels on your head. There's a lot of things you can do. But let's all wipe with one piece of toilet paper. Sheryl Crow, are you stupid? Are you just a liberal? Are you just a Democrat? You can't help it because Democrats can't think. We should be running this planet. We should be running this country. We should be in charge of everything. We got the science and logic. They got religious stupidity and voodoo bullshit in their brains. We know what we're doing. They don't, but our side can't think. We don't want to win. We have no interest at all. If opportunity knocks on the door, we might open it. We might not. But we have no, absolutely no desire to win. We have no urge to win. We have no need to win. So we don't win. That's why we didn't win in 2000, didn't win in 2002, didn't win in 2004. By 2006, the Republicans had so fucked up, they thought, hey, these guys are such dangerous, bloody losers that we, my God, they fucked things up so bad, we just soon trust the Democrats with some power. That's how we got power in 2006. What is wrong with Democrats that can't think? Now we're the party of don't wipe your ass. That's the party we become. Thanks, Sheryl. Great thinking. Way to speak for all of us. And on personal hygiene, she couldn't have had some dumb idea about combustion engines or something. No, she had to have some great ideas about personal feminine hygiene. And so she spoke for all of us. You idiot. What is wrong with Democrats?
Well, on March 13th, Alberto Gonzalez addressed his role in the spiraling scandal.
Was not involved in seeing any memos, was not involved in any discussions about what was going on.
The Ken Lay defense. I'm not corrupt. I'm a horrible leader. But unfortunately, documents soon surfaced showing that, in fact, Gonzalez attended a November 27th meeting where the plan to fire the attorneys was finalized and signed off on, at which point he found another television camera to speak into.
Let me try to be more precise about my involvement. When I said on March 13th that I wasn't involved, what I meant was that I have not been involved, was not involved in the deliberations.
Ah! The chair defense. I was in the room as an inanimate object. I see nothing. I hear nothing. Yes, it was clear that before Alberto Gonzalez would face his Senate inquisitors, he was going to have to buckle down. And so he retired to his Department of Justice chambers for several weeks, up to 5 hours a day, studying documents, boning up on how humans express sincerity facially, working, sawing logs, carrying logs. He knew he'd have to be faster than a chicken. all the time. Cheney following him on a bicycle shouting, "You gotta piss lightning and crap thunder, Alberto! You gotta do it!"
I like how whenever I imitate Cheney, it's always a Burgess Meredith character. Be it the Penguin or Rocky's manager. So there it was today, the big fight. Gonzalez v. Senate. Are you ready to bumble?
Whose idea was this?
Senator, I don't recall specifically. I don't recall the content. Senator, I have no recollection. I don't have any recollection. I have searched my memory. I don't recall remembering. I can only testify as to what I recall. Senator, I don't recall. I don't recall. I firmly believe that nothing improper occurred.
After weeks of mock testimony, there you have it. Alberto Gonzalez doesn't know what happened, but he assures you what he doesn't remember was handled properly. By the way, there were no duplicates there. Alberto Gonzalez used the phrase, "I don't recall," 45 times before lunch. I should point out at this point, that's a lot. But it was just the beginning of the Senate's journey into the epistemological netherworld that is Alberto Gonzalez.
I had knowledge that there was a process going on.
Well, were you involved in it?
I was involved in the process, yes, sir.
Were you involved to a limited extent only?
Yes, sir.
In light of the fact that you had so little to do with the decisions and made so little effort to understand...
I had everything to do with the decision. It was my decision.
You don't recall the November 27 meeting where you made the decision?
Senator, I don't know that the decision was made at that meeting.
Well, how can you be sure you made the decision?
Senator, I recall making the decision I recall making the decision.
When?
Sir, I don't recall when the decision was made.
Okay.
Nailed it. Now, to be fair, the people questioning him were not favorably predisposed. Let's hear some questions for Gonzalez from a loyal Bushy.
Do you recall that meeting and where it took place?
My schedule shows a meeting for 9 o'clock on November 27th. But I have no recollection of that meeting.
This was not that long ago. This was in November of last year.
Good question. What could make a guy forget such a big decision that happened so recently?
I went back and looked at my calendar for that week. I traveled to Mexico for the inauguration of the new president. We had National Meth Awareness Day.
Now we know! You know, I'm the same way, Alberto. Whenever I celebrate National Meth Day, it always ends up being National Meth Month.
Well, there you had it. Show number 115 in the can. Hope you like parts of it. Tell you, it was a strange show to do because they had all this stuff mapped out. And then I did that Leno Bill Maher stuff first, and it came out over an hour. So that really threw the whole thing off. I still got that Del Derno thing. I got some just things that are stacked up. I guess the things that are time sensitive are just gone. And the things that can work, we'll put in next week's show. But I'd like to thank you for listening. I'd like to thank you for subscribing. I'd like to thank the people who dropped the occasional check in the mail. Remember, if you write donation on your check, you get an extra 25%. Can't beat that. Between us, we'll defund this war. So I'll get to work on show 116. Got a whole lot of it in the can already. This is Barton K. Dragon. I'm out of here.
I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying what I did was all right. trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Being down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew there was a better way of life, and I was just trying to find. You don't know what you do till you're put under pressure. Cross 110th Street is a hell of a tester. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Across 110th Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. You bet. Across 110th Street, you can find it all in the street. Talk to y'all about right now. Hey, brother, there's a better way out. Short ain't that coke, shooting that dope man you're copping out. Take my advice, it's either live or die. You got to be strong if you want to survive. The family on the upper side of town will catch hell if without a ghetto around. In every city you'll find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto town. Let me sing it. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across 110th Street, wishes won't let the junkie go free. Trick on the street, ooh baby. Across 110th Street, you can find it all. Look around you. Yeah.